This is side B of tape 3. Before I can, in any kind of good conscience, leave you ones with this information that I have just outlaid, I would be very remiss if I didn't point out that everything so far as set up by these planners has come to pass. And it doesn't bode well for you ones of the citizenry. Technologies have become so incredibly remarkable. That if there's any fright involved here, it is of these incredible weapons and alternate backup systems they have for handling you, the people. I have to hearken back because Rothschild is the one who took the plan and began to bring it into this century and into its fulfillment. So we can cast stones at one another, and all we will do is bend and break and bruise and remain divided. You cannot look at this plan and lay it at the feet of any one race or creed. You cannot call it racist and color consciousness. You cannot put one above another. And it's going to require unity if anything is to be changed. But it bodes you well to look back just long enough to know that public presentations were made of these plans. And these plans have been published over and over again in prominent newspapers, beginning, precious ones, in Rothschild's magazines. In 1920, the French press made quite a great deal of the elite plan, the Global Plan 2000, often referred to as Manifesto, Communist Manifesto, Zionist protocols. It doesn't matter what you call it. You will find the same plan in action, whether it be from the Nazis and fascists of Adolf Hitler to the manifesto of the Communist Party. These are plans to control all of the world population and gain access to all assets of physical property. Let's just look again at what was presented. And every year now, the elite 300 little branches, such as the Bilderbergers and the Trilateralists, who just met, by the way, Council on Foreign Relations, and then all of these, quote, intelligence groups who come up and conjure the plan, activate the plan, follow through with the plan, and ultimately are the plan, all in secret, do their incredible work. So let us look at what the goals were as set forth and consider where we are. Number one on point is to get the gold, G-O-L-D. That is the goal, because with it, all else is assumed in the physical plane can be acquired. And unfortunately, that usually proves to be correct. So number one in the plan is that gold always has been and always will be the irresistible power. Therefore, handled by expert hands, it will always be the most useful lever for those who possess it, and always the object of envy for those who do not. With gold can be bought the most rebellious consciences and can fix the rate of all values, the current price of all products, and can subsidize all state loans and thereafter hold the states at the mercy of the few, of the elite. And in 1920, it was noted that already all the principal banks, the exchanges of the entire world, the credits of all the governments were resting in the hands of these few. And they have continued to build tremendously while pulling in all of those assets from all corners of the world. The other great power would be the press. You see, in 1920, radio was active, but television was not. So the thrust at that time of making public these guidelines, it was the press that was referred to. You will note, however, that the press was and is controlled by the same group as then, with the addition now of all media, having come into the total control of this cartel. By repeating without cessation certain ideas, the press succeeds in the end in having them accepted as actualities. The theater, which now becomes motion pictures and television, renders analogous services. Everywhere the press and the theater obeys our orders. And let me tell you, they are obeyed, or you are out. By the ceaseless praise of, quote, democratic, end quote, rule, the Christians can be divided into political parties and thereby be destroyed, they and the unity of their nations. Discord will be sowed everywhere, reduced to impotence, then all remaining, and most especially the Christians, will bow before the law of the bank. Always united, these elite, and always devoted without distraction from the goal or the cause. The Christians and the ones who follow those teachings of higher cause will be forced into wars by exploiting their pride and their stupidity. They will massacre each other and then clear the ground, and our people will be put into place. The possession of the land has always brought influence and power. So in the name of social justice and equality, the land shall be parceled out, the great estates. we will give the fragments to the peasants who covet them with all their powers and who will soon be in debt to us by the expense of cultivating them. In other words, let them have it. They'll have to come to us to have the implements, the power, and the ability to utilize them. Our capital will make us their masters. We, in our turn, shall become the great proprietors, and the possessions of the land will assure the power to us. And they have done it. And now through the RTC in the United States of America, they have the ability to take every piece of property, and it becomes government property. And actually then what you don't realize is that it becomes the property, because all of this debt that the America has, all nations, has utilized your property and your lands as collateral for those loans. So basically the world is now owned by the central bank of the elite 300. There would be an effort made to replace the circulation of gold with paper money, and it happened. That's exactly what they did. While their chess, this elite few, would absorb all the gold, and you would be regulated by the value of the paper, which would make them masters of all the positions available. You would just be pawns. They say that we count among us plenty of orators capable of feigning enthusiasm and of persuading mobs. We shall spread them among the people to announce changes which should secure the happiness of the human race. By gold and by flattery, we shall gain the people's attention. And this will charge itself with annihilating all Christian capital and capitalism. We shall promise workmen salaries of which they have never dared to dream, but we shall also raise the price of necessities so that our profits will be greater still. This was in 1920, precious ones. Just a little bit of an update for the locals at that time. Guess where you are now. And in this manner, we shall prepare revolutions which the Christians will make themselves, and of which we shall reap the fruit. How about what the Soviets said? They shall hang themselves, they said, of the United States of America, and sell us the rope so that we can help them. They said they would take you without having to fire a single shot. And they meant it. They're over here in your own military bases and parading up and down in your streets. And Mr. Gorbachev is this day over here visiting his property that you gave him. And they go on, these elite. I suggest you read again Dr. Coleman's book. You'll find out what these elites say. They break it down exactly like this. The wording is always a little bit different to fool you into trying to think that it's going to be one sect or one cult or one group or one color or one creed. You didn't know what the Antichrist meant. You're going to find out, I fear. They go on. By our mockeries and our attacks upon them, we shall make their priests ridiculous, then odious, and their religion as ridiculous and as odious as their clergy. then we shall be masters of their souls for our pious attachment to our own religion, to our own worship. This will prove the superiority of our religion and the superiority of our souls. And they shall see when we have reached our goal that they are nothing and we are all. We have already established our own men in all important positions, and we must always continue in our endeavor to provide these masses with lawyers and doctors. The lawyers are au courant with all interests. Doctors, once in the house, become confessors and directors of consciences. And through the pharmaceutical houses, the physicians can murder at random without being found out. Anybody nervous yet? And then they say, but above all, let us monopolize education. By this means, we spread ideas that are useful to us. And then we shape the children's brains as suits our needs and our desires. And yet if one of our people should unhappily fall into the hands of justice amongst these people, we will rush to help them. We will find as many witnesses as are needed to save our one from the judges. That will only be necessary until we become judges ourselves. That has happened. You have only injustice in your justice system. Your Supreme Court now makes the laws. It was set forth to interpret constitutional law, to protect your rights under that law. You've had it there too. The monarchs of the Christian world and all other religions who worship God, swollen with ambition and vanity, surround themselves with luxury and with numerous armies. So we shall furnish them with all the money their folly demands. And so we will be able to keep them in leash. That means that you shall always be indebted, having given as collateral all that you have. And they can then repossess it. So these elite continue, let us take care not to hinder the intermarriages of our men with the girls of other sectors. If our daughters marry outside their faith, they can influence and they can guide the children in the way of our desires. This will make them manageable when it comes time to put them into corrals. You know what a corral is? It's a pen. They are going to pull it off, Chilas. The strides have been magnificently great. It was all but done, you see, in the early 20s. And with the coming of the computer systems, you could be basically presented as a mathematical problem. It's time to consider the alternatives and the only one that you have that's going to work is revolution. I do not mean armed revolution, I mean, you must turn about from the path and your direction and turn again about face unto God and the teachings of truth. Now, as we consider the elite plan, I'm sorry, it fits very closely with the protocols. All the way back to the 15th century. And remember, I read you a letter written to the Grand Sanhedrin, which at that time had its seat in Constantinople, and ones wrote for advice as the people of Ares were threatening the synagogues. What should the Jews do? Well, it's interesting to note that even then it was misspoken, because the term Jew had not been accepted as a term at that time. But it's interesting to note that in the translations as handed down through the later years, it's certainly there now. And again, as it unfolded once more, you have it first coming public in print through the Rothschilds. So what did the grand satraps and rabbis offer in response to the inquiries? One, as for what you say, that the King of France obliges you to become Christians, do it, since you cannot do otherwise. But let the law of Moses be kept in your hearts. Two, as for what you say about the command to despoil you of your goods, parentheses, the law was that on becoming converted, Jews had to give up their possessions, in print. Make your sons merchants, that little by little they may despoil the Christians of theirs. It wasn't fair on either side. It was remarkably evil on both sides. Three, as for what you say about their making attempts on your lives, make your sons doctors and apothecaries, that they may take away Christians' lives. Happy thought. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Very subtly performed, I would guess. Four, as for what you say of their destroying your synagogues, make your sons canons and clerics, in order that they may destroy their churches. Get right to the heart of the matter. It hasn't changed, precious ones. Nothing's changed, except that they've accomplished it. You have ones who have come in from all other creeds and colors, taken over your pulpits, and teach you falsely, and then denounce truth. Five, as for the many other vexations you complain of, arrange that your sons become advocates and lawyers, and see that they always mix themselves up with the affairs of state, in order that by putting Christians under your yoke, you may dominate the world and be avenged on them. Number six, do not swerve from this order that we give you, because you will find by experience that, humiliated as you are, you will reach the actuality of power. And this was signed in November, in your year, 1489. I would hope that you would ponder these things carefully. Put aside your prejudice, your bigotry, because you are to the point where you are going to have to make some changes, and a remnant must survive. Must survive. I petition you to put aside for a moment your closed minds and allow the possibilities that were promised to be allowed to bear fruit. You have been taught of these things. You have been taught that God would come again and dwell among you. You have been taught that always before that coming, there would be the host sent to show the light and bring the word. And yet we make effort to come, and you deny, for you have been taught fear and panic at our presence. It is not with joy that I come to remind you of the sequence of events that have come to pass into near perfection, to the extent that every day becomes a challenge just in the survival. I would hope that each morning you would be grateful that you made it through the night, and each evening you would be grateful that you have been allowed another day to serve. It's the time of sorting and the time of choosing and making decisions. I cannot make them for you. I can only offer that which I have, and that's a higher level of insight. But I do offer that. And I ask that may the word rest gently on your minds, that you're able to confront it and then consider it. For the days ahead will be difficult, not because of these things, but because of what has become upon your place. I see no happiness. I see no thriving and no joy. I would ask you, please, to ponder these things, that you might give us hearing, that we might share this journey. And with this request, that you go within and speak with God, I bid you good evening. Salut. This is side B of tape 3. Before I can, in any kind of good conscience, leave you ones with this information that I have just outlaid, I would be very remiss if I didn't point out that everything so far as set up by these planners has come to pass. And it doesn't bode well for you ones of the citizenry. Technologies have become so incredibly remarkable that if there's any fright involved here, it is of these incredible weapons and alternate backup systems they have for handling you, the people. I have to hearken back because Rothschild is the one who took the plan and began to bring it into this century and into its fulfillment. So we can cast stones at one another, and all we will do is bend and break and bruise and remain divided. You cannot look at this plan and lay it at the feet of any one race or creed. You cannot call it racist and color consciousness. You cannot put one above another. And it's going to require unity if anything is to be changed. But it bodes you well to look back just long enough to know that public presentations were made of these plans. And these plans have been published over and over again in prominent newspapers, beginning, precious ones, in Rothschild's magazines. In 1920, the French press made quite a great deal of the elite plan, the Global Plan 2000, often referred to as Manifesto, Communist Manifesto, Zionist protocols. It doesn't matter what you call it. You will find the same plan in action, whether it be from the Nazis and fascists of Adolf Hitler to the manifesto of the Communist Party. These are plans to control all of the world population and gain access to all assets of physical property. Let's just look again at what was presented. And every year now, the elite 300 little branches, such as the Bilderbergers and the Trilateralists, who just met, by the way, Council on Foreign Relations, and then all of these, quote, intelligence groups who come up and conjure the plan, activate the plan, follow through with the plan, and ultimately are the plan, all in secret, do their incredible work. So let us look at what the goals were as set forth and consider where we are. Number one on point is to get the gold, G-O-L-D. That is the goal, because with it, all else is assumed in the physical plane can be acquired. And unfortunately, that usually proves to be correct. So number one in the plan is that gold always has been and always will be the irresistible power. Therefore, handled by expert hands, it will always be the most useful lever for those who possess it, and always the object of envy for those who do not. With gold can be bought the most rebellious consciences and can fix the rate of all values, the current price of all products, and can subsidize all state loans and thereafter hold the states at the mercy of the few, of the elite. And in 1920, it was noted that already all the principal banks, the exchanges of the entire world, the credits of all the governments were resting in the hands of these few. And they have continued to build tremendously while pulling in all of those assets from all corners of the world. The other great power would be the press. You see, in 1920, radio was active, but television was not. So the thrust at that time of making public these guidelines, it was the press that was referred to. You will note, however, that the press was and is controlled by the same group as then, with the addition now of all media, having come into the total control of this cartel. By repeating without cessation certain ideas, the press succeeds in the end in having them accepted as actualities. The theater, which now becomes motion pictures and television, renders analogous services. Everywhere the press and the theater obeys our orders. And let me tell you, they are obeyed, or you are out. By the ceaseless praise of, quote, democratic, end quote, rule, the Christians can be divided into political parties and thereby be destroyed, they and the unity of their nations. Discord will be sowed everywhere, reduced to impotence, then all remaining, and most especially the Christians, will bow before the law of the bank. Always united, these elite, and always devoted without distraction from the goal or the cause. The Christians and the ones who follow those teachings of higher cause will be forced into wars by exploiting their pride and their stupidity. They will massacre each other and then clear the ground, and our people will be put into place. The possession of the land has always brought influence and power. So in the name of social justice and equality, the land shall be parceled out, the great estates. We will give the fragments to the peasants who covet them with all their powers and who will soon be in debt to us by the expense of cultivating them. In other words, let them have it. They'll have to come to us to have the implements, the power, and the ability to utilize them. Our capital will make us their masters. We, in our turn, shall become the great proprietors, and the possessions of the land will assure the power to us. And they have done it. And now through the RTC in the United States of America, they have the ability to take every piece of property, and it becomes government property. And actually then what you don't realize is that it becomes the property, because all of this debt that America has, all nations, has utilized your property and your lands as collateral for those loans. So basically the world is now owned by the central bank of the elite 300. There would be an effort made to replace the circulation of gold with paper money, and it happened. That's exactly what they did. While their chess, this elite few, would absorb all the gold, and you would be regulated by the value of the paper, which would make them masters of all the positions available. You would just be pawns. They say that we count among us plenty of orators capable of feigning enthusiasm and of persuading mobs. We shall spread them among the people to announce changes which should secure the happiness of the human race. By gold and by flattery, we shall gain the people's attention. And this will charge itself with annihilating all Christian capital and capitalism. We shall promise workmen salaries of which they have never dared to dream, but we shall also raise the price of necessities so that our profits will be greater still. This was in 1920, precious ones. Just a little bit of an update for the locals at that time. Guess where you are now. And in this manner, we shall prepare revolutions which the Christians will make themselves, and of which we shall reap the fruit. How about what the Soviets said? They shall hang themselves, they said, of the United States of America, and sell us the rope, so that we can help them. They said they would take you without having to fire a single shot. And they meant it. They're over here in your own military bases and parading up and down in your streets. And Mr. Gorbachev is this day over here visiting his property that you gave him. And they go on, these elite. I suggest you read again Dr. Coleman's book. You'll find out what these elites say. They break it down exactly like this. The wording is always a little bit different to fool you into trying to think that it's going to be one sect or one cult or one group or one color or one creed. You didn't know what the Antichrist meant. You're going to find out, I fear. They go on. By our mockeries and our attacks upon them, we shall make their priests ridiculous, then odious, and their religion as ridiculous and as odious as their clergy